forgiveness. It brings us forgiveness. It reconciles our relationship with a perfect God. Because sin separates, it brings death with it. It separates perfection from what is not perfect. Us, me. And Jesus' death, there's a payment that has to be made for that sin. That sin demands a life, and that life is either mine, but Jesus comes along and says, I'll do it. I'll do it. And he steps in and he says, the payment that, David, you should be paying, I'm going to take it. The payment that all of us should be paying because of my sin. He picked up the tab. He paid it in full on the cross. I love the way Colossians 1, 21 and 22 says it, and you, me, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. To reconcile us. What once was far off has now been reconciled because that payment has been made on our behalf. It brings forgiveness. Thirdly, Jesus' death brings us intimacy with God. You see, in the days of the temple, as we study through the book of Exodus, if you've been with us on Sunday mornings, we're going to get there pretty shortly where they established a tabernacle. And eventually the tabernacle is a precursor for the temple where God was going to dwell with his people. And there was all these different layers and courts of the temple. But the room in the very middle of the temple was the Holy of Holies. It wasn't a very big room, and in it was the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a great big curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place. And a priest, once a year, could go into the Holy of Holies. But it tells us in Matthew chapter 27 that when Jesus was hanging on the cross and when he died, it says that curtain that separated, that kept the holiness of God and the sinfulness of man apart from each other, it was ripped in two from top to bottom. That the death of Jesus gave us an access and an intimacy to God that angels were curious of how it was going to happen. You see, I read these things and I look at them and I go, Lord, I feel like we've studied these. I feel like in the church we kind of know these things. I feel like we've reflected on these things, and these things are good, and these things are absolutely true. But I got to be honest with you. This week, the last couple weeks, as I'm preparing for this message, and I'm going, Lord, what do I, we're going to talk about your crucifixion, and people were asking me, like, what are we going to talk about? I'm like, it's going to be real depressing. Like, we're talking about death today. But we know Sunday's coming, so it's good, right? But that's why it's Good Friday. But I got to be honest, as I prepared this week and as the Lord, I believe, laid on my heart a message, it rocked me this week. It was keeping me awake at night of going, Lord, this is me. So I need you to understand something. When I stand up here and give this message tonight, I'm not speaking at you, I'm speaking with you. I'm in this. The Lord is convicting my heart as I hope he does tonight with your heart. Because as I looked at this, I went, yes, this is true. And Jesus' death does give us all of this. But how do I have the kind of life that Jesus requires of me? And these are the parts that begin just to shake me. Because I'm not sure how good at this I am. Because if we are to have the kind of life that Jesus talks about, then I believe the only way that his death gives us true life is that we have to die to ourselves. If you have your Bibles, and I hope you brought them. If you don't, there's some in the back if you want to grab one. If you have it on your phone, iPad, whatever, awesome. But Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Jesus is talking. And he says this in Luke chapter 9, starting in verse 23. And he, Jesus, said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God." But do you hear what he's saying? If you want to be my disciple, if you want to truly live as my disciple, then you must die to yourself. You must take up your cross daily. It is a continual dying to self, because the truth is that every living thing has defense mechanisms in order to keep itself alive. And everything within me wants to keep myself alive. I want to keep my own hopes, my own vision for my future, my own security. I want to keep that alive. And I will do everything, kicking and screaming, to do that. And Jesus says, "I want you to give that up. I want you to die to it." And he even says this: "What does it profit you to gain the whole world and forfeit your soul?" The life that we try to pursue, the life that I want to pursue, he goes, "Great, you get it. But what does it cost you in the process? For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it." If you want this life that Jesus is talking about, now hear me, this is an option, and we're going to get to that. He says, "Lose your life for my sake, and when you do, you will find life." Secondly, we need to understand something. That dying is not an option. This isn't an option for us. Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to follow me, then what? Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. But I gotta be honest with you. I don't like this. I don't. Because I don't like it, because I'm guilty of it. Because so often I want the dying to myself to be optional. I want it to be something where I can pick and choose the things that I die to. You see, I love a lot of the promises of Jesus, but I have a tendency to pick and choose which promises that I want to cling to a little bit tighter than others, right? I love the ones in the scripture that talk about his nearness and love for me. Anybody else with me? Those are the ones that I love. And he goes, David, those are true for you if you are willing to die to yourself. Those promises will be fully yours. But you need to die to yourself. But here's the problem. I want those to be fully mine, but I kind of want to keep doing the things that I want. I kind of want to keep doing the things that I kind of love. The things that I kind of go, well, I still kind of like this, and I still want to keep doing that. And Jesus is going, I want you to fully die. You know what a dead person can do? Nothing. If you see a dead person doing something, get out. See, I want the promises of Jesus that are easy and convenient for me, but when it comes to the promises and the commands that Jesus gives, like in this one, I want to choose whether or not I do it. I honestly at times want to pursue Jesus when it is convenient and easy for me. But when it's hard and it will cost me something, then at times I would rather not. See, but the problem is when I think this way, the truth is then I think that when Jesus gives a command, this is a command in Scripture. Then I'm picking and choosing, and I think that command becomes an option, and it's not. But can I tell you something? When I was coaching soccer, I never wanted to be the coach, and if you've heard, you might have heard me say this before, I never wanted to be the coach that just like commanded players to do something but wasn't willing to do it himself, right? So a lot of times when we'd go run, I'd go run. When we're running laps, I went running laps a lot of times, and when we are doing drills, I would hop in and I would do drills and I would do these things, and I was the old man out there, right? And I'm trying to keep up, but what I love, because it always bothered me when the coaches would just blow their whistle. Go run. You need to run more than all of us, you know? And I'd look at them, you didn't say that to the coach. That was disrespectful. But Jesus doesn't command us to do something that he himself wasn't willing to do. He goes, I died that you might live, but in order for you to truly live, you must die to yourself. What this whole world teaches us about life and what is valuable in this life, he goes, you must die to that because that is not what my kingdom is about. My kingdom is not about the American dream. My kingdom is not about having the nicest stuff. My kingdom is not about having the biggest 401k. My kingdom is about loving those who are not privileged. My kingdom is about loving those and caring for those that are around you. My kingdom is not of this world. And he goes, you must die to the things of this world in order to truly live into my kingdom. And that is what he purchased when he went to the cross, is that life, kingdom life. But so often I want to dabble in both worlds. As Hannah Montana used to sing, I want the best of both worlds. If you've seen that movie, you know what I'm talking about. Some of you are going, what? Who's that? Don't worry about it. But the truth is that Jesus comes and he gives a command. He says, David, you truly want to live? You want the life that I talk about here? You want the kind of life that you see around the world? You want where Christians are willingly, where the Spirit is just alive in them and the Spirit's doing incredible things? You want that kind of life? Then die to these things. And I'll give you life. Oh, it's going to look radically different than what the world thinks is life. It's not going to make sense to a lot of the world. Oh, but it's going to be full. and those promises that you want to cling to, when you fully die to yourself, guess what? You will live into those promises and you will understand them in ways that you never have before. But dying's not an option. Thirdly, if we're going to have that kind of life, dying to ourselves means denying ourselves. Once again, I need to just tell you, please hear me, I'm not preaching at you. I'm with you. As I was studying, and as I've been in conversations lately with people, and as I read that Luke chapter 9, verse 23, deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. I literally was laying in bed and I could not fall asleep. And this passage kept resounding in my head. Deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. And I was convicted where I felt the Spirit of God as I'm laying in my bed going, David, what have you ever denied yourself on my behalf? And honestly, I wanted to give an answer. I mean, if the Lord convicts you of something, don't you want to give an answer? I mean, and I can think of superficial things, right? Well, God, I'm not cheating on my wife. He's like, way to go. You're doing what a lot of other marriages who don't even believe in me do. So, and I just sat there, and I laid there. And I go, God, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what I'm denying myself. David, you want to cling to these promises of mine, the ones that you love? You love to read the Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Oh, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But do you know why you don't have rest? It's because you're refusing to die to yourself. You're refusing to deny yourself. When you do that, then you will enter into that rest that I'm talking about. You read John 10:10, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that you may have life and have it abundantly, and you want this abundant life, but you look around and you think that is abundant life, but that's not it. I gotta be honest, I'm laying in bed and I'm broken. I don't have an answer for you. I can't stand up here and just sit here and go, this is what it means to deny yourself. It means you won't have cable TV at home because that's sinful. No, that's not what I'm saying. But what I realized in my own life is I want to be a lot more open to what God's word actually says and a lot more open to what the Spirit is actually teaching me. I want to be a lot more open to go, you know what? God, I want to see where you are moving. I want to see where you're working, and I want to enter into that. God, it is more inconvenient for me to sometimes get into spiritual conversations, but I want to be able to get into those spiritual conversations at the risk of me looking bad or silly, at the risk of someone thinking I'm some sort of radical Jesus freak. I would rather risk that. Because it's not about me, it's about you. You willingly went to a cross for me. But am I willing to deny my natural instincts and urges of what may make me look a little bit bad for your glory? And the Spirit convicted me. But can I have you join with me? Can you ask in your heart of hearts, what have you been denying yourself? I mean, it's easy to deny ourselves some things. But are you willing to deny pursuing after the world's vision of what life is really all about? And willing to accept the vision that's cast by Jesus that says, if you want to be my disciple, die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer brings it so concise. He says, when Christ bids a man, he bids him to come and die. Dying to self requires denying ourselves. Fourthly, we must count the cost. If you're in Luke chapter 9, flip over a few pages to the right. Go to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, starting in verse 25. I love this. Now great crowds accompanied him, Jesus, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Now get the picture. I mean, do you see what's happening here? I mean, this is every like church planter's dream right here. Great crowds were following him. I mean, he's doing it. I mean, he's doing what every pastor loves to do, grow churches. He wants to see more people, and oh man, this is great. And he sees the crowds and he turns around and he says to them, I mean, do you hear what he says to them? If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his father, his mother, his wife and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, even his own life, don't even bother following me. Don't be my disciple. Oh, gosh. Whoever, verse 27, does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And he explains it. For which of you desiring to build a tower does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Once again, you kidding me, Jesus? I mean, you're asking a lot. I mean, I thought following Jesus was praying a prayer and assurance of heaven and bada bing, bada boom, I can go live life now. He said, oh no, I paid a great price to purchase your life. And if you want to follow me, do you even hear the words? Follow me. What are we celebrating today? Good Friday. What happened on Good Friday? He went to a cross and he says what? Follow me. Jesus, I'll follow you from kind of on the outskirts over here. But he says, if you want to be my disciple, if you want to do the things that I'm doing, you better count the cost. And I love the way Jesus teaches because he brings it at such a very practical level. He says, oh, you want to build a patio cover on your house? You better make sure you have enough money, right? It only makes sense. It's things that we do every day, right? I mean, I hope you do that. I hope one day you're not like, oh, you figure it, you budget. We do that all the time with our money. I'm going to buy a new car. You're like, I'm just going to go buy one. I don't have a job and I'm in debt, but you know what? That's good. Let's go buy a car. No, you count the cost. And Jesus says, you want to be my disciple? You better count the cost. Because what I'm asking of you is for your very life. And I want you to love me so much greater than everything else in the world that it almost looks like hate to the rest of the world. That I want you to be so in love with me, Jesus says, that it looks like you hate your father and your mother and your sister and your brother and your own kids and everybody that should be the most valuable people in your life. When you love me so much more, it will pale in comparison with how much you love me. That's what it takes to be my disciple. And I read that and I'm convicted and I go, but God, that's hard. And I can almost hear him chuckle back and go, it wasn't easy when I went to the cross for you. But God, you want me to give up my own pursuit of life? Yeah, that's what I want you to do. But God, you want me to love you more than anything? And he goes, yeah, but I loved you more than anything, and I gave up myself fully for you. Once again, he's not a coach commanding you to do something that he was not willing himself to do. But friends, let's just be honest right here, right now, as we sit in this room and as we celebrate and as we reflect on the cross of Jesus, we got to count the cost of what it means to be his disciple. Because he literally says, you're either all in or you're not. You're in or you're not. You're either going to take my word seriously or you're not. Because I believe what he says, and the very last thing is what I want to kind of close to wrap up with tonight, is that lastly, we never compromise. We don't give in. Do you see what he says there? Verse 32. If the king, actually starting in verse 1, king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able to, with 10,000 men, meet him who comes against him with 20,000. I mean, it's simple math, right? Unless those 10,000 are elitely trained Navy SEALs, they might be able to take on 20,000. But if it's not, if it's for 10,000 regular soldiers versus 20,000 regular soldiers, the math goes, we're overwhelmed. And what's it say? Verse 32, and if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. He goes, we're not going to war. I'm going to send people out and we're going to make peace. And I believe what Jesus is saying here is that too often in the world, we look and we count the cost and we go, that is such a great cost, Jesus, that we are going to go make terms of peace with the world. Once again, I got to look at my own life. And I put the spiritual umbrella over things and I say, oh, I can spiritualize it, but how many times have I made peace with the world? Jesus goes, we don't compromise. You want to enter into my kingdom? You want to be my disciple? You die. It's not a suggestion. It's not just a good idea. It's a command. And he says, if you want to follow me, you better really count the cost before you do that. Because if you say you're in, you're in. What is baptism all about? We are dying to ourselves. And we are being raised again in the newness of life. When we do these things, the promises that we love to cling to so fully are ours. I mentioned Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. When we die to ourselves, ultimately we find rest in him. I was reflecting with some staff this week and with some of the elders of the church, and we were talking about how easy it is for us, and I mean all of us, to get caught up in the rat race of life. In the pursuing of objects and things, and and the next promotion, and it's easy to be running around and to be yes men and yes women, saying yes so that we might boost ourselves and get the promotions and get the next things and all this good stuff, right? And we're chasing after those things, and we get so caught up in it. And then we read verses like Matthew chapter 11, 28, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And we read that and we go, we want that so bad. He says, it's yours. It's yours when you're willing just to die to yourself and when you quit chasing after, get out of that rat race and die to that and come follow me. Be obedient to me. And in the book of John, we read that when we obey his commands, they are not grievous. That's why Jesus says, my burden is light. When you come to me and you are dead, that's something I can use. And when you are dead, then you will have life. Then you are going to have this rest. And I got to tell you, so much of the stress in my life comes because I try to have that best of both worlds, where I try to keep this spinning and I try to keep the Jesus thing spinning as well. And so I try to do both, and the stress comes because I'm trying to do both. But if I would just lay this down and I'd say, I'm dead to that because that's what you've called me to, then I can enter into the rest of who Jesus is. Finally, when we die, we live for him. I love it the way Paul writes it in Philippians 1, "For me to live is Christ and to die is gain." Can I just very bluntly ask you, do you live this way? Do you live in such a way that to live is Christ and I'm going to do anything and everything that he commands and I want to be so part of his kingdom and I want to be so alive by the Holy Spirit that if I'm still alive on this earth, then I'm going to be committed to the work of the Father and you're going to be looking differently at the world. You're going to be looking, if you're living as Christ, you're going to be looking at the world and go, God, this is exactly what Jesus did. He walked around and go, Father, where are you working? Because I want to be part of that. Read through the book of John. Let me encourage you. And look how many times where Jesus, God himself in human flesh says, I can do nothing on my own. Look how many times he says that. Because he looked, where's the Father working? There's the Father working. I'm going there. And if we are still living and breathing and we are disciples of Jesus, we are going to be doing the same things in our offices, in our communities, at Kahoot's pet store, at Cotija's Mexican food place. We are going to do it everywhere. God, where are you working? Because I want to be there. I was at Cotija's this morning getting a breakfast burrito. It was delicious. And I'm going, Lord, how do I get into some kind of conversation with this lady who's taking my order? So I just looked and she goes, Happy Good Friday. I said, Happy Good Friday. She goes, You too. She goes, Are you doing anything? I was like, Yeah, as a matter of fact, we got church services tonight. And I said, We've got an Easter egg hunt tomorrow. We've got Easter services. And she goes, My mom does that. I go, Oh, really? She goes, Yeah, I'm going to go with my mom tonight. And she's like, We're talking about the seven sayings. So I'm like, Oh, the seven sayings of Jesus from the cross? She goes, Yeah, that's it. Then I pulled out the tract and I showed her the four spiritual laws and I converted her right then and there and closed the deal. I said, Blessings to you, sister. No, I didn't do that. I said, Have a great service tonight. And I ended the conversation. And I ate my delicious burrito. But for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I don't know about you, but I want to live the kind of life that I'm looking everywhere I go. God, where are you working? God, where are you working? Because I want to be there. Because think about it. Our God is always working. He's working at Crunch Fitness right now. He's working in your neighborhood right now. He's working in the Highland. He's working all around here right now. And we don't know what God is doing in people's hearts. But yet so often we're afraid because we don't want to deny ourselves. What will they think of me? Who cares what they think of you? It's important what they think of who he is. Because eternity's at stake, and Jesus died for them. And the Father might be working in their hearts, and he might be going. But so often we have our blinders on. Friends, can I encourage you? You want to be his disciple? You want to be truly alive? Look every place you go and ask the question, God, are you working here? Because if you are, I want to be part of it. God, are you doing something in this person's life? Because if you are, I want to be part of it. It's not your job to save them. But who knows what role God would have you play in that person's life. I don't know about you, but when I want to live into what Paul says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I want to live in such a way here on earth that for me to live as Christ, and then when I cross that, when my body is broken down and beaten and I breathe my last, that I enter into the heavenly realm and I see Jesus there, I want to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. I want death to be a gain. And guess what? That's the kind of life that Jesus died for. When he says, I've come that you may have life and have it to the full, and he died to give us that life, that's the kind of life that he is talking about. I love, and I'll wrap up with this, of what Galatians 2:20 says. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. What about you? Are you willing to enter into the life that Jesus provides you through his death? But in order to fully enter into this life, we must die ourselves. And when we die ourselves, we truly come alive, not in the kingdom of this world, but the kingdom of God, where our Father is always at work. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we come. And thank you is just simply not enough. Those are words. We say thank you when we go get ice cream. And Jesus, you willingly died on a cross for us, for me. But God, you demand something pretty radical in return. You demand my life. And Lord, I can't speak for everyone in here, but I know there's so many times in my life that I am not willing and I'm not at times feeling like I'm able to fully surrender, God. But Lord, hear the confession of my heart, and I know many people's hearts in this room. We want to die to ourselves. We want to enter into the life. We want to look at that New Testament church that we see in the book of Acts where they are doing such incredible things. God, you're that same God. Lord, I don't want to be content any longer with what the world says is life. Lord, I believe that we want to enter into the life that you bought for us on that cross. So Lord, we say thank you, but those are just words, and so we want to show our thanks by giving you our lives and saying, God, here we are. Show us where you're working. And we will go. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.